This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yep. Welcome back to BetQLU. It is a new era in the show, as it is, we've gone from three to two. Chris Mack is still with us on the network. He's just doing a different show now, which is great for him. Great news for him. And we are holding it down, myself, John Martin, and RJ Chobby, talking all things college basketball. Let's just let's break down really quickly, RJ, what the public is into when it comes to a national championship winner over at BetMGM. So a little bit of line movement from last week to now. Arizona went from 11 to 1 to 10 to 1. UConn went from 12 to 1 to 10 to 1. And Kentucky went from 20 to 1 to 14 to 1 to win the national championship. As we talked about, the highest liability for BetMGM is going to be Kentucky. 18.6% of the handle on the national championship future, 14.3% of tickets. Kansas as well. Kansas is a loser for BetMGM because they have 12.2% of the handle and then 10.2% of the ticket count. So gives you kind of an idea of, you know, who BetMGM needs and who they don't this year in the college basketball championship market. We haven't really talked about Kansas, and I suppose that might be a good place to start. They kind of squeaked by Cincinnati earlier in the week, adding Hunter Dickinson in the transfer portal. What do you make, RJ, from what you've seen of Kansas? I know it's early, but what do you make of what you've seen from them so far as they get Big 12 play underway?
I think they're a good team. I think they're a team that's a little bit better than some of their metrics show. Like, they're outside the top, 15 in KenPom, you know, barely top 20. I think they're 18th. I think they're a much better team than that, though. I think that they are a clear title contender. I don't know if they'd be my favorite right now. I don't think they would. But I think that they're obviously one that, you know, if you throw a little bit of money on, and maybe their number comes back to the pack, although if they're a liability at BetMGM, I don't think they're going to give them more favorable odds just because they don't want any more money on them. I think they would shrink them a little bit. But, yeah, I definitely would be – they're one of the teams I would put a number on. I do get scared, though, with Blue Bloods because Blue Bloods generally are not going to be good value ever. Mm-hmm. You know, they're always going to be hyped up. They're always going to have higher bets, you know, amount of bets against them and less favorable odds. Mm-hmm. But I think if you can get them down a bit, just a bit, which I don't think is going to happen, but if you can, that'd be a good number to take.
Yeah, I'm in like with Kansas. I'm not in love with them. Yeah. I agree. I think that's kind of I obviously Hunter Dickinson is just one of the best bigs in college basketball, but he's not your traditional sort of rim protector, right? Like, I don't really view him as an elite defender. And as far as they go, and I know they got a big night from Johnny Furphy against Cincinnati, and they really needed it. They really needed to have it, the young kid there from Australia. They're pretty thin in terms of guys I can trust night in and night out, you know, to score for me. I got Hunter Dickinson. I've got Kevin McCullough, who's, you know, shooting the ball pretty efficiently. And that's kind of where I'm at. You know, I got two guys. I just think they're a little shallow for me. I love DeJuan Harris. I think DeJuan Harris is, you know, probably for me, the best point guard top to bottom, pound for pound in the country. I love him. I love the way he controls the game. I love the way he's composed, the way he's just sort of, you know, he's the maestro for them. And he's got the experience. He's been there forever. He's, you know, he's won championships before. But I just don't know if the firepower is quite there for Kansas this year. Maybe it is. But, you know, we've already seen him lose to UCF. You know, we've already seen him kind of, you know, it was a struggle against Cincinnati. It really was. I mean, it was close.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know if it's quite their year. Look, I mean, they did what you have to do in the transfer portal, right? They lose to West Virginia. You do what you have to do in the transfer portal, but it's like it still has to come together.
Yeah, that was a bad one, that West Virginia game. I mean, they couldn't get a defensive rebound to save their life. And that's something that you get into a tournament, you get into a game against a good team, especially a Big Ten team that you know loves to body up and get some rebounds. I mean, that could be a nasty game. That was that loss really kind of popped to me. And I know West Virginia shot really, really well from three compared to their numbers. But your inability when the Mountaineers are kind of dominating the offensive glass, yep, that late in the game, that's troubling. That's tough to get past.
Yeah, Bill Self's a great coach, and he's a guy I do trust in the tournament. But I'm not really, you know, like I said, I like them, don't love them.
Yeah,
it's starting to get kind of interesting to me when it comes to Purdue. They are the favorite to win the national championship at BetMGM. They're 8-1, and they do have the third highest ticket count, which kind of does surprise me at BetMGM. 7.5% of all tickets. But I just don't get the sense, RJ, that people are going to allow themselves to buy this team again. And I understand, like, the past is the past with Purdue, and their performance in March is well documented. But at what point do we say, okay, last year was just one game in a six-game tournament. It was an ugly 40-minute stretch of basketball, and this team is actually a legitimate national championship contender. Like, are we there, or is this going to be a thing where people just don't allow the past, you know, to be forgotten with this team?
Yeah, that's going to be tough to overcome. But dude, they're 7-1 in quad one games.
Yeah,
and they're only lost a 3-point game to Marquette in Maui. That's a legit team. Like, they're a legit team, and their backcourt's good. You know, like, you could say all you want that maybe last year their backcourt wasn't up to par. No, it is this year. And I think they are every bit as good and as advertised as a team that most likely is going to be a one seed, probably is going to have a great chance at the overall one seed. So I think that there's going to be people that are going to overlook that. But a lot of it's going to be like Virginia when they lost, when they got knocked out in the first round. You know, you overlook Virginia a little bit. Did Virginia win it the year after or the year before they got knocked out? I can't remember.
They won it after.
It was the year
they
after.
Won the year after. Yeah.
And they brought back a lot of the same team. And Purdue does too. So, you know, I don't want to fall in the trap of just completely dismissing them because of one game. You have a bad 20 minutes, not a bad 40. You have a bad 20 minutes in this tournament, and you're going home. Mm-hmm. It may take a bad 8 minutes. I saw Tennessee last year have about 8 minutes against FAU, a game they were controlling, and they're gone. And FAU's in the Final Four. So it ain't even be bad 20. It's about like 8. Bad 5. Yeah. You're gone.
Yeah. They did add, obviously, Lance Jones in the portal, who, you know, earlier in the week in that blowout versus Michigan had 24 for him, led all scores. So, you know, you did add a little firepower in that backcourt, which we were talking about. You know, that could very well be the difference. I don't know. Like, I just, you know, you're always – it's hard to put images like that, you know, losing to Fairleigh Dickinson. It's hard to put those out of your mind. But when it comes to, you know, betting and when it comes to, you know, putting your money on something, like, you have to, right? Because, that team really has nothing to do – and that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. It's random as hell. It's all in a vacuum. You can have an amazing regular season, which Purdue undeniably did last year. And and you can get to the tournament and it doesn't matter. But you still had a 40 game sample, right? Where you're winning the Big Ten, where you're beating the crap out of teams, where you're looking like the best team in college basketball. You know, yes, the way that we talk about it after the fact is it's about what you do in the tournament. But if you bring the majority of that team back, and now we're talking about 40, 60, 80 game samples with that same team for the most part and that same staff, it's like, I'm probably a little stupid to ignore that at some point.
Yeah, you can't ignore. There are certain things you can't ignore, but you want to ignore a good month, a good week, a good 2 months. Go ahead, man. You start ignoring 50, 60, 70, 80 game samples with basically the same thing going on. You want to ignore a decade of great coaching and consistent play. I mean, you do that at your own peril. That is at your own risk, man. Like, because you want to, again, don't buy the hype on some things, but there are times where you absolutely want to buy it.
Yep. Well, so yeah, and that's sort of what we've got here: trust or dust. As crazy as it sounds, trust. You know. And again, maybe it's like, you know, I'm going back to a toxic relationship, but I think Purdue has to be trusted right now. Like, I kind of feel like if you don't. You're holding things against them that just aren't relevant in 2024. So
yeah,
I mean, I'm going with trust. Okay, let's sort of work our way down the list here, RJ. We talked about Tennessee. I think we both agree they're a trust right now. I mean, until they give us reason not to. But with the addition of Dalton Connect and you know, most of those guys back from a year ago, I think you have to say they're a trust. Memphis. What a week for the Tigers. They started last Monday breaking into the top 10 this late in the season for the first time since John Calipari was on the sidelines. And this Monday, they are only, depending on the analytics, depending on which, you know, projections you want to look at, they are only about a 40 to 45% you know, chance. They have a 40 to 45% chance to even make the NCAA tournament. And they're still ranked at 19th right now, RJ, but that is simply a function of AP voters not paying attention and nothing more. That's because I saw some ballots had them 13th despite losing to two unranked AAC teams. That's simply unacceptable. If you don't want to pay attention to the sport, you should just turn in your vote. But they are, I believe, 80-1 right now to win the national championship. And I'll be honest, RJ, I just am not there on him. I thought when they added Naquan Tomlin, the kid from Kansas State, at the middle of the year, that they would be able to find a new gear defensively, but they're just not good. This is Penny Hardaway's worst defensive team he has ever had. And when teams go zone against them on the offensive end, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. They just don't have enough shooting. The defense really isn't there for me. They don't move the ball enough. They don't share the ball enough. And Penny's talking about chemistry issues. I think what Memphis shows, though, right, whether or not you, you know, 80-1, it's a long shot. But week to week, college basketball, RJ, it's a short walk from the penthouse to the outhouse, my man.
Mm-hmm.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Look, 80-1 is a number that is enticing in its own. But they're going to probably wind up being a 7 seed, a 6 seed maybe. And, I mean, their peripheral numbers just look like everything that you point to is outside the, hey, can they win? Their KenPom stuff is outside. Their net is outside. Yep. Like, it's a tough sled. And, you know, I thought, you know, going from, you know, like when Houston joined the Big 12, like we were going to find out a lot about Houston. You know, that going through that grind week in and week out, or you know, what, every 3 days is going to be tough for the Big 12. You know, Memphis has got to deal with, they don't deal with that right now. And that, look, it doesn't mean they're not a good team, but you go in, you have to win six games in what, 18 days or 21 days. It's tough. It's a tough thing to do, but I'm not there with them. I wouldn't think about putting a number on them yet at all. I mean, 80-1 is, again, it's enticing, but I think you're just throwing your money away right now.
Yeah, it's just a year, whatever. You're playing craps, right? That's kind of what it is. But I feel like it's the peril of being in a league like the one Memphis finds itself in the AAC, because if Tennessee loses a road game on a Sunday, whatever. If North Carolina loses a road game on a Tuesday, you know, whatever. You have opportunities to make good on those L's, and you will. For Memphis, you only have two chances with FAU. That's it. I mean, that's the only way that you can undo those L's. And so I think what happens is your seeding takes a huge hit. And when your seeding takes a huge hit, your probabilities, you're now seeing twos and ones in the second round as opposed to the Sweet 16. And again, it's all a math thing. Anything can happen in a 40-minute basketball game, but when you're dealing with the math, it's not on your side when you're a 7 or an 8. And I think that's exactly what Memphis is trending towards right now. Real quick, before we get out of here, I will say, it feels like North Carolina is the best team that nobody's talking about, if that's possible, RJ. 16-1 to win the national championship. I feel like there's some legs there.
Good team. They're a good team. And they're old. Man, they're an older team, and they've got a lot of guys that are still there. From their run a couple of years ago, I think you absolutely buy them. I totally trust Carolina. I think they're a quality team. Coach, I mean, I don't know. I think they're well coached. I don't know enough about Hubes yet in terms of what he's going to be. You get into a tough game. I know they made a run with him, but still, that's one time. I think they're a live team, though. I absolutely like their basketball team.
Yeah. We'll come back, get into the weekend. Got some big games this weekend in college basketball. Talk about one futures bet we'd make. Going to get into all that and more right here on BetQLU on the BetQL Network. Back after this.